We believe it is only by fully disclosing ourselves and our problems that any of us shall be persuaded to say, yes, I'm one of them too. I must have this thing. Isla stuck around to introduce our speaker. It was her suggestion that Claudia tell her story in her second year. And we're real happy to have you here, Claudia, and looking forward to it. And here's Isla.
Thank you, Tim. I am delighted that Tim asked me to introduce Claudia to you, because what a joy, what a pleasure. And it's going to be 3 years on the 8th of next month, so it's a lot closer to 3 than 2. And Claudia is going to share with you how she's not a stranger to this at this AA, but she persevered, and she persevered, and she kept coming back, and she kept trying. And I'm not, just let me tell this story, okay, Claudia? No, but Claudia asked me probably about a year or so ago if I would sponsor her, and I was tickled to death. But the real truth is that she sponsors me. She and Beverly and I gain so much more than I give. And what I consider is she's just like a little sister. And she also has Noah, who's 11, and Sophia is 3. And so I get not just Claudia, but little angels, too, in my life. I'm going to hush and give you Claudia.
I do wish she would stay here, but my name is Claudia, and I am an alcoholic. And just for the records, I do have a very strong accent. I know that. And if any moment you feel like you want me to repeat or you do not understand it, it doesn't bother me. Let me know. I'm from Colombia, South America, from a very young, spoiled, brat kids that had me when my mom was 16, just because mom said no to her. So let me run away and show you better. And I'm a product of that. In the meantime, my father was very abusive, alcoholic, the boy from town, and my grandparents decided to finalize that marriage that had never taken place, and they sent my mother here to the States with had a little sister. She was 18 months younger, and they only paid for the expenses of my mom and one of us. So, of course, that by common sense, she will take the little one. She was 6 months at the time. I was only 2. Only 2. I'm still a victim after all these years. I learned to I became a victim of life. The ugly duckling that nobody wanted, because I went from grandparents to aunts to get parents, because just for the record, in the life, you have a very strong aunt. And I live like that. I live with my aunt and my grandfather like for almost 5 years until my mom came back to Colombia. I was 8. I'm from Colombia, South America. In the meantime, I learned a lot of survival skills. I was 16. I learned just because to lie, to steal, say no to in order to obtain anything that I wanted, show you my way, and I'm a product of that. And became a very rebel. In the meantime, my father was very abusive, alcoholic. And I never left those behaviors behind. I abused him,
and my grandparents decided to.
But I didn't know that.
Finalized.
I was that marriage.
In a way, very naive.
Never taken place.
Very immature here to the States.
Because
among those circumstances,
I had it all.
I mean, I come from a very wealthy family.
You name it.
But I was
expenses of my mom in one of
due to the fact that parents can't
leave a package.
She will take a little
I was not an easy kid.
I'm still a victim
after all these years.
Get my way around.
To using people, because I will use the maids.
I became a victim of life.
I will use the ugly duckling
for a study in order to get
nobody
away
wanted
from problems.
So I went from grandparents to
and once my mom came, of course I didn't want to go live with any stranger
because that's what she was to me.
But and I lived like that.
In the meantime, my mom was another victim of life.
All I could hear
is,
I'm doing this just for you, and this is the way you pay me.
And I finally got to meet my mom and my sister.
Little I know, in her high school, and I was in trouble all the time. Good trouble. I was not out in the streets searching for guys. I was just being silly, trying to get away to do my own things, playing basketball, gymnastics, which I was good at them, very athletic since early age. But my punishments were taking me off from the league. I made it to the league in Bogota, opportunity to travel over South America, and bad grades and bad behavior took me out. Opportunity that it was never presented to me back again. Gymnastics the same way. Playing instruments the same way. But that was the only way my mom knew how to handle me. And little I know, I found alcohol. Of course, I was in a Catholic school, and we all decided to take steal a bottle of wine from home. And sometimes I remember like it was yesterday. This was a huge school. And we went out to the woods to drink the wine. Oh, my God. It was the most beautiful thing that had ever happened to me. It totally changed me. Because I was very shy. Even though I was bad in behavior, I was very shy. Very conscious of my look. I didn't think I was pretty. I was always different, always, since very early age. And that alcohol brought me courage. I was able to handle anybody and hang out with the coolest kids in the class. And I discovered that day when I had the bottle of wine. Of course, we were found drunk and punished by it. But in Colombia, there is no limit when or how to buy alcohol for kids of any age. As a matter of fact, I used to go and buy bottles of alcohol for my mom when she was drinking on Friday night at 8 o'clock at night, and I was only 10, 12. So I learned to steal a sip here and steal a sip there, but for the feeling, to feel good about myself, the confidence. And later on, I got pregnant, and we found it out through, I got really, really sick, almost about to die. My appendix burst, and I lasted more than 72 hours, and it was literally almost dead. And of course, the guilt, me doing all this to a single mother who's just working for me and doing all this for me. I stopped doing everything and went to behave good.
I don't know what behaving good at the time was, but didn't do anything, literally. And at that time, my mom had made up her mind that we were coming back to the States. They were coming back to the States. It was my choice to stay or not, but I had just been accepted in the medical school. And of course, my job was to continue my studies in Colombia while they were coming here. And after I finished, it was up to me to make the decision to join them or not. In that moment, I felt so bad because it was 6 months of recovery. There was no opportunity to go back to the medical school. I decided to come here too. Why not? And got here not knowing the language, not knowing anything about this country. Disappointed on the other hand because we went to New Jersey and that was not what I was expecting to see at all. And hated it. I had to go back to Catholic schools and the whole thing was not. And I didn't come here to learn another Spanish. I mean, you know, we got the Puerto Rican, the Cubans, Venezuelans. We all speak Spanish, but it's very different from one to another. And that was not what I came here for. So we decided to give it a try to Alana. And we came to Alana. I'm still trying to do my best to be a good kid. So I ended up going to Georgia State for ESL, English as a second language. And I got tired of being good. I had to hang out with the coolest guys from Georgia State. And the coolest guys from Georgia State were the Puerto Ricans who did all kinds of stuff. Ah! Perfect! I couldn't feel more at home. And little I know, at the age of 19, I ended up in Northside Hospital. Intoxicated. Been introduced to cocaine and drinking was right and left. There was no night that I could not go without drinking, but there was always an excuse why I had to drink, and it's only one that I had. Mom, I don't know what you're complaining about. She said I smell like alcohol, but it was only one. I developed anorexia back then, and of course I blame it on the anorexia. I didn't eat much. Therefore, the one glass of wine that I had got me so drunk. But I ended up in Northside Hospital in the AD group, which I didn't know A and D what it meant. I thought it was BNC too, but alcohol and drugs. And got introduced to my first AA meeting, which I, of course, in order to graduate from Northside, I had to come to AA meetings and to make my mom happy, bottom line. And it didn't work because I was not here for myself. I was here for other reasons other than accepting my problem. I went back to Colombia, went back to Houston, and didn't last but 6 months when I was shipped back out to the States. And I knew that back then, in that moment, I knew I had a problem. But I did not want to accept it. And I got in sobriety, I got married, and I was sober for about 5 years. Not sober, I was dry. I wouldn't call that sobriety. I will come to meetings. I will help with the coffee, but I was my own sponsor. I was different. Therefore, I worked my steps my way with my help. I don't need you. Thank you very much. You are so different, and you were not gonna understand me. I was not from here, not the same background, not the same culture. I had all these cues. Why I was so different and why I could sponsor myself. Of course, needless to say, life became very nice. I had a very nice man, very wealthy, started traveling all over the country, all over the world, had it all. But one day I questioned, maybe I can have a glass of wine. And the glass of wine ended up in 2 years of nonstop drinking and getting in serious problems in my marriage. They were not good at all. And I will see a counselor, which I would like right and left. I continue to be a victim of the world because I think because my husband, because the business, because everybody else, not me. And I did come back to the program. Otherwise, I was just going to lose everything I had in that moment. And it seems like everything I had was important at the time. And I lasted a few more years dry. I had a kid in between in those years, which forced me to stay dry. But it was not long after that that I went back out to drink. And this time I will hide it big time. I will not let anybody know. I will come to meetings and go back out to drink. And it was not a bottle of wine. It was vodka. It was a liter of a bottle of vodka. Trying to hide that in the house, and my ex-husband will find it. No idea where that came from. I did... our business got really, we were forced to go out of business, had a little one. I did come back to AA with a lot of love and support of a sponsor that I had named at the time. And she would pick me up. She was an angel, but I still didn't get it. I would lie right and left about everything in my life. I did not know how to say the truth. I did not know how to look at myself in the mirror and tell right from wrong. I couldn't. I did not have that capacity. And I don't think I ever have that capacity until recently. And I would have to lie. I was a compulsive liar. You tell me that was white, I would say, no, that's gray. For everything, and I had to argue for everything in my life. Anything that you tell me you hear is looks pretty. Oh, no, not really. I mean, I will just get totally in disagree with the role in any sort of way. And I separated. And today I can see that that separation was not much of him. It was not the problem. Problem, of course, it was me. I was looking for a way to go back to drink. And I did last a year dry after the separation. And I stopped going to meetings because I was a single mom, didn't have time. The meetings in the meantime kept me all those times sober. The times that I went back out to drink is because I stopped coming to meetings. I was a miserable dry drunk, but they helped me to stay, accumulate a few years at a time. In the meantime, every time that I stopped, the idea of perhaps one drink, this time is going to be different, will come back. And as cunning and baffling as this disease is, it didn't take much to believe that lie. And I did go back. I started hanging out with the wrong crowd back again. And I did do my best to stay dry, but I didn't have the support. I didn't have the meetings. I did not have the first step. I knew I had a problem, but I couldn't accept until then that was my problem. And I went back out to drink and to use, and this time was horrible. I lost everything. I lost even my integrity out there. I got together with a guy. Today he's my husband. I have a kit of that product, and I have a huge God that looks after me because this baby is healthy. And I have to say that that was not a healthy pregnancy. She's beautiful, smart, no health problems. So you tell me there is a God, definitely. I play with life and drinking so much that when the baby was born, I got tested. Of course, everybody does. It's not just me. Probably the way that I looked helped. But she tested positive for drugs. And immediately, of course, defects got involved. But nobody in my family knew about it. And you're trying to hide an elephant in a small bathroom. That's exactly what I was doing. Covering here and there, not to let my family and the father of the baby know that the baby was positive. In the meantime, I'm dealing here with the law and using. I get tired just to think about it. Seriously, I still do. But I did it, and I'm not proud of it. I was taken to court and got a judge that at the time I thought she hated me. She was racist. She just did not like me. And she was going to make my life impossible because I want to go back out and drink. And I did manage to take the drugs out of my life. But I couldn't stop drinking. Drinking became everything to me. I will pray to God, please, please God help me, crying on my knees. But I couldn't stop. If I went to the grocery store, automatically the cart will go to the beer and wine aisle. If I was driving by, just one small bottle, and then I stop. I'm not going to do it today, but I'm just going to have this one bottle, and tomorrow I stop. And it went on and on for 6 months, and I got caught in a pretty bad blackout when one of the case managers was coming to see me, and I'm there along with my baby. So, of course, taken to hospital. When I woke up from the blackout, I was in a gown in a room, that psychiatric room. And I did not know what was going on, but I knew it was not good. So, what a good solution, kill myself. That will solve all the problems. And there was a plastic knife, and certainly I did. I tried to cut myself. I was doing it the wrong way. I learned that later. But I did break my skin, and I did bleed, and the nurse noticed it. And I was put in a psychiatric in Georgia Regional from all the places. And cried for 48 hours until finally I got out. And I was taken to court, and the judge wanted me to go and do 6 months of in-house recovery. And I just could not face that reality. How could I be 6 months in a place with a bunch of strangers? She just did not understand what happened to me that day. and that was not fair what she was doing to me. And I fought that idea right and left. I tried to manipulate the defax caseworker, everybody. And I got sort of away by going to Peaceford, when it used to be down the street in Chalford. But I continued to drink. I could not stop drinking for anything. The only way to make me feel good, the only thing that I could think, the only way that I could work, the only way that I could face my reality was behind a drink. But I could not think life for a minute without a drink. At that point, I surrendered. I thought that was it. My life was going to be that nightmare that became in that I finally realized that I was living in that moment. Because I couldn't get away from the drink for anything. I tried not to take the roads. I tried not to go to the grocery store. I would imagine the picture of my kids in the bottle because I knew I was going to lose them. It did not work out. Why? Because I was doing it for everybody else, not for me. But I couldn't understand that. Finally, of course, I failed one test because I was drinking. I had been drinking all along and hiding it. Hiding it, I don't know from who, because everybody knew I was drinking but myself. And I was sent to St. Jude's. Oh my God. And that's my first day of sobriety. I was sent to September 8th of 2008. I finally, after working everything out, that was the day to enter in St. Jude's. For that, with Tosinil, I did not want to go. Because it was the end of the world for me. Of course, it was the end of my drinking. They made me work a lot. And I started working the steps because that's the thing to do in recovery. And I did, but I resented that people pretty bad. So at that point, I was forced to stop drinking and using any kind of mind-altering substance, but at the same time, I was just dry. The same thinking, the same hate, the same everything continued until I broke my hips for the second time, and it happened there. The point that I couldn't walk and they couldn't have anybody with the medical condition that I had, so I got discharged. And it was not my fault. The judge would not understand that it was not my fault. It was my hips and the circumstances and blah, blah, blah. Well, the judge didn't eat it. She still required me to do 6 months of recovery house. I ended up in Gwinnett Recovery Center. They have one recovery center in Covington, and I went there on January 9th of 2009. I cannot tell you what happened in there, but I know that I came out of there and I was told I had to take my honest to God very first time, for the very first time, the first step. With this time, honestly, something hit me, and I was able to accept the problem, me. And I was told in that moment that when I left a month after that, and it was there for 30 days, that 5% of the people who makes it from being in recovery center. In AA, no, the number was 1% of the people is because they leave that place and immediately goes to a meeting. And about 5% is because they leave the place and eventually that night or later on they start getting involved in AA. Well, I left that place on a Friday, February 9th, and I immediately went to a meeting. I went to Triangle, a noon meeting. Something touched me, and I didn't want to have the need to drink. I finally have left behind that need, that thirst for the drink. I still don't think I have reached sobriety yet, because I continue to behave in doing things that were not, I wouldn't call them sober today. But that was my beginning. I started coming to meetings, and I started noticing that I was not honest at all, not even with myself, and I needed to find someone that I could open myself to. There were too many buts in the selection. It was very, very narrow. None. There was nobody out there who could help me. But one lady who used to come to this meeting insisted in taking, being part of my life. And she would send me little notes saying, well, call me. And she had been there for me. And somehow she started getting close to me, to the point that I was like, if I want to survive this, I'm still facing the judge. I'm still facing to lose my family. Because the judge was determined. And I didn't want that to happen. I wanted those kids. I just couldn't stop drinking. I love those kids. But I couldn't stop drinking. And there were no excuse for me to stop drinking. I asked her to help me. And she did grab me from her hand and carry me through. She helped me to take that second, third step with honesty, opened herself up for me to share with her my first step. And I was afraid to do it, of course, because I thought she was going to be judgmental. And little I know, she's done the same or worse, but she related to what I said and helped me. And helped me to see my part in all this. Wow. It was always everybody else's fault. I didn't have anything to do in any of that. My mom left me. The world was cruel. I was just had always been a victim. She was my first eye-opener to this beautiful life that I have today. Always will be so grateful to her. And I will call her, and when I had moments that I didn't want to face and will have thoughts that I didn't want to have, I will call her. Because I felt a need to communicate that I didn't want to go back to that nightmare that I came from. I was terrified in that moment that I finally woke up to see what a nightmare that was held in living what I went through those 2 years. Being chased by a drink, literally. No, I was chasing it. But on the other hand, through making that a step, one day I came here to my 7:30 meeting with my home group. And I remember crying and complaining about not being able to get away from this judge. And you still sent what have me in her hands and asked me to come 2 months later. Can you see that I haven't had a drink? Can you see how well I'm doing? No, she couldn't. Why? Because I didn't express that to her on my body language, in my eyes. Thank God for her in my life today. Because one day I'll need to let her know that she saved my life and those kids' lives. Because I don't even want to think about what it would be our lives today had I gone back to drink. But on the other hand, somebody told me in that meeting, Claudia, she can tell that you're doing it to please her. You have to earn that sobriety. You have to show it in yourself. That will speak up for yourself in the way you look at her, in your eyes, in your body expression. And don't admit that I needed to do this for myself. If I save myself, if I take care of myself, all the other things that I'm fighting for will come in place. What a concept. We'll never, ever think of that in all those years. And I started working with myself with the help of my sponsor. Start taking care of Claudia. Never done it. I was my worst enemy until then. I beat myself so hard because never meet my expectations. I was never good enough. And that was kind of a slap on my face. Wake up to reality, kid. And little I know, next time I went to see the judge, I had my kids back. I was able to make it back home. All that time, I had not been able to stay. I had to stay that night there because I was staying half time with permission from the center. My manipulation, my controlling, I spent a couple nights with them. But I was free to go home. I was free to walk on the streets with my kids and drive them around. Wow. The lesson was learned. I needed to take care of myself. It's not easy. It's not easy to be honest to yourself after lying for so many years. It's not easy to take that mask and rip it off and get to see yourself in the mirror and to face yourself. It hurts. But I was ready. I kept coming back in here. I started to speak up. I started to want to leave that mask that everybody saw in me, that beautiful, sweet girl. No, that was not me. I needed to leave that behind and move on. I had to face the consequences. I was married to this guy. I had a child. And just count my blessings. Count my blessings. And I started being grateful for what I had, not for what I didn't have. I started just coming more often, be available. Open myself up, and more important, not lie. Because my first action when my husband would say, "Do you have a cigarette?" Yes, I did. You know how tough that was? I always say, "No, me." Yes, I did. And you will ask me something, and immediately I would say, and I would pinch, it's like I pinch myself to say the truth. Oh, it feels so good. seriously feels good to tell the truth today. I got involved in some business this past weekend, and they were going to charge me, of course, I had to pay some money, and I misunderstood the amount of money that I was supposed to pay up front. So they did a small charge, and the other one was pending, and it was certainly the amount that I thought I was going to pay in the beginning. And I had to call the person responsible for this business and say, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't have the money today. I wanted to make an excuse. I wanted to tell her that I needed. I did tell her in the beginning, oh, I don't have that money yet in my account. Let me check my savings account. My savings account is zero. So I knew better. But today I don't have, I cannot continue a lie. I've forgotten how. I'd rather face a bad moment that lasts a few seconds and not making it up to I don't know what, because it's going to get discovered anyhow. I have to say I forgot how to lie, and I'd rather put my face and tell the truth today than set a lie. It doesn't come naturally yet. My first instinct is to lie. But it's getting better. It's getting better. And that's what this program has taught me. A lot of things are not easy and they don't come natural. But I don't last in that misery much. And that's when I forgot to mention in the beginning that I had named my story, if I'm not the problem, there is no solution. Because I have found out for everything in my life that I feel uncomfortable today is because I allow it to happen. I allow you to bother me. I allow the moment to make myself uncomfortable. Anything don't have a name. I have to look at myself and say, what is my part in this? Why am I feeling uncomfortable? What is it about that? Because I'm afraid to go back to those 2 years of drinking hell. I don't want to be there. And I will do anything, whatever it takes today, to stay away from there. And here it is. Here it is, sharing with you what I thought I was not going to be able to. And earning my sobriety today. And thanking you for having me here tonight. I made it! I thought I was not going to make it. Thank me. Yours. Thank you all.
Okay. Thanks for sharing your secret. I've asked Tinsley to hand out the chips.
My name is Tinsley. I'm an alcoholic. And here at this meeting, we have a chip system to mark our time away from our last drink. If you'd like to try this way of life one day at a time, we offer a white chip. Would anybody like a white chip? How about 30 days? We have a silver chip for 30 days. We got 30 days. Red chip, 90 days. Then we got 90 days. Come on now. 6 months, yellow chip. Who's got 6 months? Green chip for 9 months. We get a lot of these chips, that is. How many birthdays? Anybody got a birthday? Anybody want to reconsider on a white chip? big hand for the church you hold.
Okay, next week we've got Jerry Sinatra from the Primary Purpose Group, a pretty well-known speaker, very well-known speaker. Then Fred S. from the Bridge Builder Group. And Fred has some long-term sobriety. He's been sober since 1990. Very interesting guy. He used to climb on the outside of buildings. So I guess he'll be able to come here and be fearless for us, I hope. And I'd like to remind every one of you that anonymity is the spiritual foundation of our traditions. It reminds us to place principles before personalities. And for those who will, please join us in the Lord's Prayer.
Father, kill us. Is that a home style from Southern outside of your prayer, but I'm going to prayer. Our prayer is yours.
strong way. Always by side someday. And we'll all be together on that broad highway. And we'll all be together on that broad highway. And we'll all be together on that broad highway.